Hello and welcome to the Be Unapologetically You radio podcast. My name is Kelsey Davidson and I am your host. On this podcast, we talk about all things personal development, health and wellness, and of course, fitness, and how you can do all of those things, create a lifestyle that works for you and nobody else, because nobody else was made like you. So why would you do it the same way as somebody else? Well, unless it works. So thank you for joining us today and let's get started into the episode. Hello and welcome back to Be Unapologetically You Radio. I'm so excited to introduce you today to my friend Natalie Saldana. We have been friends for a while since Amanda Bucci's Influencer Academy, and that's been several years. It has been such an honor to get to know this woman and watch her grow and become the amazing coach that she truly is. Natalie's specialty is helping boss women to eat the foods they love while losing weight, gaining strength, and building a beautiful physique. I'm so excited for y'all to get to know her today. We're talking about the fitness lifestyle and how to create one that works for you and how to prevent the overwhelm in the process and why it is so worth it. And of course, busting some myths and things that are always important things to do. So enjoy the episode and let's dive in. Hi, Natalie. Welcome to Be Unapologetically You Radio. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Kelsey, for the invite. I'm really excited. I was looking forward to it all week.
Definitely. So, Miss Natalie, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself to the audience and tell them a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I'm a fitness coach, to put it simply, but I just transitioned to working full-time online or via from home. Especially with everything that's going on, I was kind of just forced to be in that situation with the gyms being shut down. But overall, I have been a trainer and a coach for, since 2011. So yeah, quite a long time now. I started out in a, big commercial gym, worked there for several years. I actually really liked it and it was just time to move on eventually. Became an independent trainer, started running out of a gym and did that for 2 years. And just recently, as I said, as of now, I kind of just transitioned to the full online thing. So that's kind of where I'm at now. That's a little bit about me.
Excellent. Can you tell us a little bit about where you grew up and kind of how you got into your career as well? Because I feel like that's one of your most, at least me, I found that one of the most relatable things about you is how you got into fitness and wellness in your growing up story.
Yeah, definitely. I am from Whittier, California. It's a small little town. I actually went to college there as well. I'm very family oriented and, didn't want to go too far away. I also worked at In-N-Out through my end years of high school. And I wanted to keep my job to basically help support myself through school because, college can be pricey. So that's what I did. I worked at In-N-Out. I went to Whittier College. I actually started to major in, math. I'm a math geek, or I was, and I really liked it, except for just, it started getting really tough. I really wasn't being focused like I should have been, kind of just fooling around, partying, that whole kind of thing. And, eventually not everyone goes through this, but maybe a lot of people do, is I started gaining weight, stopped exercising as much. I actually did cheer in high school. I did track for a year. I was just always pretty active growing up my whole life. Even as a kid, I was just like involved in some type of sports. But fast forward to college, kind of put that on hold, focused more on academics and, social life and all of that. So the weight just started to come on, started to get really unhappy with myself to the point where I was like, whoa, like I need a change. Like this, if I continue down this road, it's not going to be very pretty health wise, physique wise, all of that. And then of course my academics were taking a hit in math as well, because I just wasn't very focused and I also started to lose my passion for it. So long story short, I started just making that change for myself. I got more into health, more into fitness. I was like, I need to start exercising again. I, even took weightlifting in college, started changing my eating habits, and by my close to my junior year. So I would say the summer going into my junior year of college, I lost a significant amount of weight and was feeling really good about myself. And a lot of my friends and colleagues were like, "Nat, you look great. Like, what, you know, what were you doing?" And I was like, just exercising, eating better. And they're like, one of my friends was like, "Nat, have you ever considered doing kinesiology for your major?" Because at that time she knew I was like not into the math anymore. And I was like, what is that? Like, honestly, I didn't even know like what that was. And she's like, it's a study of the body. And, you know, you can get into like sports, like physical therapy or like training and stuff like that. I was like, wow, that actually sounds fun. So I was like, you know what? Talk to my counselor. I was like, I think I want to change my major. Like, this obviously isn't working. Like, the whole math thing is going down south. So I enrolled in kinesiology and then I started studying the courses, like, you know, anatomy and physiology and biomechanics, which was a lot of math and science. So it was kind of still integrated somehow. So I was like, this is what I want to do. I don't know exactly where I'm going to go with it yet, but this is what I want to do. So that's kind of how that happened.
That's awesome. Man, I didn't know I couldn't remember that you were a math major. That is so awesome. I love that.
I tried, but it got pretty tough. I'm not going to lie.
Gotcha. What do you think was that trigger for you in that pivotal moment to go like, oh crap, I've got to do something about this. I don't like the path. Do you have a memory of what sparked that change besides of seeing the weight on the scale? Was there something you thought that you can remember that triggered that for you?
Kind of both. Definitely one day I think it was like, just a regular doctor checkup and they take your weight. And I was the heaviest I had been. And I'm a petite girl. Like, I'm not saying I was ever significantly like overweight, but for me, it was definitely just areas that I wasn't happy with. So I was always in high school. I'm pretty short. I'm barely 5'3". And usually sitting at like 100 to 110 pounds at the most. But then I hit almost 130. So, and no muscle. So this is definitely a lot of fat gain because I wasn't doing resistance training at the time. But then that was like, whoa. And then I started to see it, obviously. But when I saw that number, I was like, okay, that's not what I'm used to. And then also my lifestyle at the time was, you know, working at In-N-Out, going out and partying on my, you know, weekends and stuff like that. Distractions. My lifestyle was just like, I was eating bad. That's In-N-Out was literally like my diet all day, every day, and drinking and just nothing healthy, to be honest. So that's how I was like, okay, this doesn't make me feel good. Not only the physical aspect of it, but I just started to really feel like poop, basically.
Gotcha. I see what you mean. What would you say to somebody that is in that spot right now? What would you tell them to focus on first? So that way they wouldn't get overwhelmed on their path to a healthier life.
Definitely pick 1 to 2 habits that you can focus on now, like subtle changes, before you start trying to change everything all at once. And that's actually what I did. I remember that. I mean, I worked at In-N-Out. I wasn't going to quit. I was going to say, oh, I can't work here because it's making me fat. Like, I just, you know, changed up what I was eating from there. So as you know, we work there, we get a free meal, and I'm not, being a college student, I'm not going to turn that down. But instead of getting like the double doubles, I started getting like a hamburger or a protein style burger. Like, so making changes to our diet, I still loved In-N-Out, but I know I had to just change what I was eating. If like, not, instead of ordering the double doubles on my break, it was a protein style cheeseburger or a protein style hamburger, or even sometimes I'd get the bun still, but I just wouldn't add all the extra stuff to it. So it was little changes like that that helped me kind of start to see the transformation. And then slowly working in exercise, you know, being a college student, schedule's really busy, I'm sure, especially if you're working and going to school, have a full course load, all of that. Working out every single day for hours a day just wasn't really possible at the time. So it was like, what can I do? So I did dedicate at least 3 hours a week to doing some type of activity, whether that was cardio. And then I did join a weightlifting class. So I started to learn how to at least use machines and some free weights. And that's where my knowledge kind of started to grow.
Gotcha. What would you say was a mindset shift that you had to adjust to along the way? And what would be some of the mindsets that your clients struggle with now that you guide them through, especially with health and wellness?
I guess it's definitely not being too hard on yourself. When you see yourself a certain way and you almost feel like, and I run into this with my clients a lot, it's almost kind of like, oh, it's just going to take so long, or what's the point of even trying? And because we're looking so far ahead, like we think the goal is so far away that it's just brings us down. Like, oh, I'm going to have to put in all this work for this amount of time. It's like just making small little goals and adjustments along the way to give you that, you know, confidence boost. Like if I can, you know, fit back into one size down, like in the next month, like that's something to be excited about versus I still have, you know, 20, 30, 40 pounds to lose. So it's being comfortable with where you're at, but realizing it's okay to want to change.
Gotcha. And not trying to take on the whole mountain at one time. You take on one little stint of it at a time.
100%. Definitely.
Gotcha. How would you suggest to somebody who wants to start to track macros? I know a lot of people are very overwhelmed by that because that's a lot of information to figure out all at once. What would be some tips you could give to somebody that wants to start to track that, that could build on to that skill?
You're right. The concept of it can be overwhelming at first. But it really, we can simplify it a little bit more. So it's before you get into really tracking macros, like track calories. So, and I would say calories and protein, because protein, in my opinion, is the most important macronutrient to help repair muscle tissue, reserve muscle, our satiety levels. So when you say you're using some type of calorie counter, like MyFitnessPal, for example, is a good example. And there are several others out there. That one is just the one that's very common. You can log your food. I would say whatever it is you're doing now, instead of trying to change and mold to, you know, a certain diet, take what you're eating on a regular basis or for the most part and start tracking that. That way you just visually see what you're eating. And, you know, you can say if you're eating out quite a few meals a week, then the chances are that meal is going to be in the database. You can easily search up the calories. So it's not like you actually have to weigh and itemize every single item, at least get a rough estimate. So if you went to, I'll use In-N-Out, for example, like if you got a cheeseburger at In-N-Out, you can compute that and see how many calories it is. Don't worry about the macros too much right off the bat, but just you could visually see like, oh dang, this burger is 300 and something calories, almost 400 calories, et cetera. And then you start to just visually be aware of it and then pay attention to food labels. You know, like that's not necessarily something you have to track right away, but you can see what it is you're eating and how many calories it is. Maybe you didn't pay attention to it before. Now you're aware. Now you're starting to see these numbers, and now you're maybe starting to compute in your head. Okay, I had this for lunch, this for dinner. This one was 400 calories. This one was 400 calories. That's 800 calories right there. And just those two meals. That's not including everything else I ate for breakfast and snacks. So it's just visually seeing that representation. And the next step would be to start really tracking or maybe weighing your food with a food scale. I can see how that gets overwhelming for people too, but I always tell my clients, if you want to eventually not be able to track and not have to worry about it, you have to start getting good at eyeballing your portions, right? But we can't get good at eyeballing unless we know what they are first. So it's like we can't skip steps, right? Then that's just going to lead us up for failure. So start weighing and measuring your food. Then you'll visually see, oh, this is what 5 ounces of chicken looks like. Oh, this is how many grams of peanut butter this is.
So that was a heartbreak for me, the peanut butter. Yeah, that was the killer one for me.
That is a big one. You know, people will take a heaping tablespoon, and what they're taking on that tablespoon is actually 2 tablespoons. So you're doubling the amount right there. So weighing it out in grams, and you could visually see like, oh, it's actually a tablespoon of peanut butter is actually kind of small, or it's not as big as I thought it was, right? So doing things like that. And then as you start to get better at that, you can introduce, you know, your specific macros, and breaking that down into proteins, fats, carbs. But it still doesn't have to be too overwhelming, because for myself, and again, I tell my clients, the most important for reaching any goal, whether gaining weight or losing weight, it's hitting your specific calorie goal and hitting your protein goal. Carbs and fat, sometimes my clients will come to me, "Nah, I didn't hit the fat and the carbs, like I didn't hit them right. Like they didn't add up to, the goal that, we set." I'm like, "Hey, that's okay. Did you hit your calorie goal?" "Yeah, I was actually under by 20 calories." "Great. Did you hit your protein goal?" "Yeah, I was actually over by a few grams." "Perfect." So fats and carbs are going to be interchangeable. They're not always going to be perfect, and that's okay. And some people just do well with one more versus the other. Some people thrive off of having a higher carbs in their diet, like myself. And some people do well with higher fat in their diet. But as long as their calories are equated to what it needs to be, they're going to achieve their goals.
Gotcha. And just raising that awareness. Something that I used to do when I used to weigh everything is if there was several meals that I knew I was going to use one ingredient or anything from, I would actually weigh out several days worth of that meal ahead of time. So I knew exactly what those portions were, or I would pre-track what I was going to eat the next day and weigh it out ahead of time. So that way it was less work at the moment and it was a little bit of prep work. So it was meal prep, just one more step is what I found really worked for me and helped me be accurate, because I am the laziest person in the world. I know that about myself. So if I can give myself where I can feel like I'd have to do less work the next time, I'm going to do it.
Right. That's a good strategy. I'm actually the opposite. I like kind of just measure as I go because I don't always know what I'm going to eat, which it's great to plan, but just sometimes planning just isn't in the cards for me. And it's like, okay, what am I having right now? And just like either quickly weigh it. And then say if I had that same meal later in the week, like you said, but I didn't have it prepared, but I made it later. Oh, I already made it earlier this week. So now I know how much calories it is. So it's kind of like little steps like that. Totally.
Exactly. And being open to flip between one approach and another, depending on where your week is at or what search situation is at. I think one thing I found when I was super OCD about it was I was going to stick to what I pre-tracked come hell or high water. But when I found that I could still hit my macros or my calorie goal, even with if I changed it midday, I could still be successful. And I was way happier when I did that versus being like super rigid.
Yeah. And I think that's the misconception that people have, is that when you track it, it's super rigid and it's super strict. And it's actually the opposite. Instead of approaching it as a chore and something tedious, you should, I tell my clients to approach it in a way with a healthy mindset, because it's going to allow you to eat the foods that you love and enjoy without feeling restricted. So it's, instead of going into it like, "Oh my God, this is tough and this is too much work," approach it where like, "Wow, this is allowing me to be flexible with my diet and to incorporate the foods I love because I'm learning, as I go."
Gotcha. That makes so much sense. I want to pivot a little bit onto that, on to how you use these foundational principles or guidelines for yourself to maintain or stay on track for your goals. I know a lot of people are like, "Okay, I'm either there or I'm almost there. What's my next step? What do I get to look forward to after this?" Could you talk about some guidelines or things that you implement with your clients as they transition to either another goal or a next phase or a maintenance phase for themselves?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't even track my calories and my macros now. Only time I would ever do so is just for the sake of teaching my clients something, or posting on Instagram to show my followers that, "Hey, this is how many calories this is." But like I said, eventually, if you put in the time and the effort to be in tune with your body and what you're feeding it and how much you're feeding it, then over time, it gets easier to kind of, again, gauge that, start to eyeball your food. And, it might not always be perfect. You might not look at something and be like, "Oh, that's exactly 300 calories," like give or take a few, right? But if you're kind of in that maintenance phase, which is where I'm at now, and actually I could still achieve goals if I, really wanted to, I would know what I would need to do. But just strategy wise, I always prioritize my protein. So what's my protein for each meal? For breakfast, it's typically a protein shake or some eggs, and then kind of pick my carbs and fats based off of that. Same thing for lunch and dinner. What is my protein for the day? Chicken, ground turkey. And I'm not saying it has to be that for everybody. You know, I understand people may not necessarily eat meat, but it's just finding the sources that you love and that you like and you can eat on a regular basis, and incorporate them more often. Because you don't, if it's something that you like and you enjoy eating, you don't necessarily get sick of, it's pretty easy to kind of stick to and gauge over time, like without having to track and monitor every single calorie. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am, it does. Could you talk to how that applies for their movement, like their workouts and things as well? I think a lot of people, or there's still the, not a lot of people, I think there's still this myth of, at least I thought of this when I first started really, really pursuing working out after I retired from athletics, that, oh, I only have to do this for so long. And once I reach this goal, I don't have to work out anymore. And I could you talk to that belief and kind of how that works as you go past your goals and hit the maintenance phase as well?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm sure we hear this, you know, and we're talking in terms of calories, and we hear this all the time, like calories, calories, calories. So I guess to kind of backpedal or backtrack on that is calories are our source of energy. What we put in the food is the energy we consume. The exercise is the energy that we burn off. So if we have this notion of, oh, once I hit my goal, I could kind of just stop working as hard. Yeah, you can totally do that if, you know, you've reached a point where you're comfortable and you were working out 5 days a week and now you're like, okay, I like where I'm at, but man, 5 days a week is just a little too much now. Like, I'd rather just do two or three, if that. Then your calorie consumption needs, so your food, is going to have to change as well. So it's, if you are going to plan on exercising a little less and you want to maintain where you're at, well, you just significantly reduce the amount of calories you're outputting. So now you have to reduce the calories that you're inputting. So making, you could still eat the foods that you love, you enjoy, all of that. You might just want to scale back on the portions. Opposite end, on the flip side, you want to maintain where you're at, or you want to keep and preserve your muscle, but you want to add more exercise because you love and you enjoy it. Well, then your calorie needs are going to have to increase. So you're going to have to consume a little bit more to match that. And that's kind of what I do now without physically tracking, is I go based off of my calorie output. So this week I exercise a lot more than normal. One, my hunger increases. So I'm already kind of automatically going to want to consume a little bit more food. But sometimes even myself, I'm so busy that as much as I work out, I might forget to eat. So then I have to realize that as well. Like, oh, okay. You know, shoot, I skipped a whole meal today. I need to make my dinner. Like, say I skipped lunch, I need to make my dinner a little heavier. But yeah, that's kind of, I would say that's kind of how I go about my day and my routine now, and kind of in that maintenance level, or anyone going in that phase of not wanting to have to do everything like physically counting or tracking all the time. But yeah, I guess. Does that answer your question?
Definitely. Okay. I would love for you to share your opinion on reverse dieting and how that can impact their ability to maintain the lifestyle, or whatever your opinions are on reverse diets and if they're good things or bad things, or to use them.
I would say I haven't personally used reverse dieting as far as like actually put myself on a plan for reverse dieting, but subconsciously I actually do think I do that. Because again, it's kind of coming down to those cues, and I'm really good at listening to my body. But again, just so everybody knows, like, that it took me years to get there or where I'm at now. It's not like I tracked for, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, a couple months, and then, okay, boom, now I could like eat intuitively or mindfully. It doesn't really work like that. But as far as the reverse dieting goes, that allows you to, ultimately, the goal is to consume as much calories as possible without seeing detrimental return. So without gaining too much weight, essentially. So the reverse dieting aspect of it is slow, like taking a couple weeks at a time and starting to slowly increase your calories as you're building muscle or maintaining muscle at the same rate. Because the more muscle we can build, or the more our calorie output we can make our body's calorie output, then we can consume more. So that's kind of where the reverse dieting comes into play, is if you've been dieting for so long, say you got as low as 1200 calories, and you want to build back up, but you don't want to gain weight, there's a strategic way to go about that. So we'd want to slowly increase as our body, it's metabolic adaptation without getting too scientific, but our bodies are going to adapt at some point to the food that we're consuming. So that, I think reverse dieting is a very good tool for anyone who's been dieting very long or, you know, at a really good maintenance phase, but they want to be able to consume more calories because they feel like their energy needs are higher, or, you know, they simply just love to eat. Who doesn't? But it's kind of just planning around that and how to make it work to your benefit.
Gotcha. Thank you. I'm so glad you shared that because that's such a confusing concept for a lot of people and you explained it beautifully. The last specific question I would really love for you to address, because I know this is something you harp on a lot and I want you to have an opportunity to talk about this, is why women need to strength train and this belief that they will become manly if they strength train. Would you talk into this, please, my love?
Yes, definitely. So as mentioned earlier, I said, you know, I was always petite. I was actually really scrawny in high school and leading into my first couple of years of college. And resistance training and strength training seriously changed my life. And it goes for anyone. Even if you're petite like myself growing up, or you feel like you have a significant amount of body fat to lose, strength training is a game changer. So we've been talking a lot about calories and calorie consumption, calorie output, all of that. So what it basically helps us do is, you know, we hear the word metabolism. Strength training helps repair and increase our metabolism. So we are able to metabolize or burn more calories when we add more lean muscle tissue. Also the aesthetics part of it is, you know, who doesn't want to, you know, I'm not saying you have to be certain toned and ripped, and I'm definitely not even there myself, but it's not only for the sake of, you know, aesthetics, but overall health. And I see why people or females in particular stray away from it, because they feel like as they build muscle, they're getting bigger, or they see these guys getting super jacked, and it's just our hormone levels are different, and that's just not going to happen. I always tell my clients that, well, you know, they'll come to me like, I have done resistance training. I noticed my arms get big really fast. And everyone carries, this comes down to body fat. Everyone carries body fat in different areas, you know, compared to another person. Some females may hold it more in their stomach and their legs, some in their arms. So we cannot spot reduce. We cannot, you know, if you work out your arms a bunch, that doesn't necessarily mean the fat in your arms is going to come off. And because you worked out your arms so much, doesn't always necessarily equate to, oh my God, your arms are blowing up. So we have muscle tissue. Muscle lays underneath fat. So what we want to do is reduce the fat on top of the muscle. So, and that's going to come down to definitely number one, nutrition. And if you're looking to lose body fat, it's called a caloric deficit. So we, and where it comes off is going to be wherever genetically your body decides it's going to come off first. And again, that's just different areas for different people. So as far as the whole concept of feeling like women are going to blow up or get really big, chances are if that's how they're feeling, that the direction that they're going is more so to do with their nutrition versus their strength training in the gym.
Definitely.
And it takes, yeah. And time frame wise, women just do not have the genetic makeup to build muscle that fast. And it takes a lot of time. And I've been in my journey over 10 years now. And I have, as much as resistance training I have done, I would say I'm nowhere near huge or like manly looking or anything like that. Again, it just comes down to your time, effort, energy. I mean, the time you put in and you invest. And in order to build muscle super fast for females, you'd have to really be like, doing it on a very regular basis, and doing it the right way and eating the right amount of food and all of that. So it's just so many pieces of the puzzle, you know, to kind of get to that point. But yeah, I just want to kind of put that out there that is a myth. You know, ladies, don't be afraid to weightlift. It does wonders for your health. I would even say your mental health feeling strong. I even did a powerlifting competition, which was like super empowering because I didn't have to focus on an aesthetic goal, but rather a strength goal. And I didn't see my body, you know, after all that heavy lifting, I didn't see it get super big. I maintained my body, but my strength increased, which was awesome. And that was the strongest I've ever been.
Definitely. And I would like to just add on to everything you said that you have to be very intentional for that to be your outcome. If you want to become bigger or shredded or whatever the case may be, you're just not going to fall into that. Especially as a female, we just have too many other factors that are at play for that to occur. So you should not need to worry about that. So if you're intentionally pursuing that, that's a whole nother ball game. But if you're not, mm-hmm. you just want to be healthy and strong and feminine looking. Strength training will change your body and help you add curves you didn't have before. You'll also be able to open up all the jars on your own. No help for the peanut butter jar anymore. And it'll empower you so much more to do other things in your life.
And to piggyback off of that, you know, like you said, be intentional with getting there. Anyone that you see in, you know, that category, chances are they have a coach that is helping them get there, and they are following a very, very strict diet. I'm not saying like calorie restriction when it comes to building muscle. They're probably eating a crap load of food, but they have a coach guiding them because that is ultimately their goal. They're maybe trying to compete or do some type of competition, or even if it's for themselves. It requires a lot of knowledge and a lot of trial and error and a lot of effort and time. So there's usually somebody, you know, that maybe you don't see behind the door that's helping them get there. It's like you said, they didn't just fall into it.
Yeah. An example of that would be, Olympic gymnast. They are not born knowing how to do these skills and things like that. So they have to do time and effort and practice these skills over and over again and learn different ways to do that. Adding strength training and nutrition and things like that work the same way. So if you're not specific with your goal, you're not going to hit there. But also if you're not specific in the plan, you're going to hit your goal, you're not going to get there. And that's why it's so important to work with somebody or become educated on the path that you want to pursue. So that way you don't get off track. You're less likely to fall into the path you're supposed to be. Because good Lord, I have tried to fall into the path I'm supposed to be. I've done so many wrong things in my life.
Yeah.
You're not going to fall into it. It's going to be very intentional that you sought that outcome. So do not stress about that.
Yeah, no, you said it definitely.
What other things are on your heart to share with the audience right now? Is there anything that's coming up for you at the moment?
Again, I would say I always preach this to anyone on any goal, again, whether it's losing weight or building muscle. Time and patience and consistency go a long way, and nothing is going to happen overnight. And for myself, throughout the years, it took a lot of trial and error. Before I actually started learning in college about, you know, kinesiology and health and fitness, prior to that, I was doing a lot of detrimental, you know, trainings too. Like I kind of gave you guys a short end of it, but I too fell in that trap of wanting to get results fast at one point. And, you know, I was doing excessive cardio. I was trying to hit the gym like several days a week. And, you know, eventually I realized like that is not the way to go about it. Because anyone could get results super fast if, you know, especially when it comes to weight loss, if they cut their food and they exercise a lot more. But the thing is how sustainable is that for you? How enjoyable is it for you? And what do you do after when you get there? And like you said, you made that example earlier. Well, I got to where I want, so now I'm going to stop because, man, that was really hard. And then we end up maybe gaining it back. So it's, again, just heavy on my heart like that. Be patient. And follow the right steps in the right order. And if you don't know what to do, then seek help. It's okay to ask for help. You know, I think it's good, you know, no matter where you're at in life, whether it's career, whether it's fitness, whether it's health, find someone that is doing what you want to do and successful at it and reach out to them. That is ultimately how you're going to learn, in my opinion. And that's always how I've learned, is reaching out to somebody for help that I saw that was doing it.
Definitely. And I think we try to do a lot of things on our own for sure. And it's important to seek help. I would love for you to share with the audience where they can connect with you, work with you, all the things.
Yeah, definitely. Connect with me. You know, I'm very active on my Instagram. So Instagram username, Natalie_Saldana. I'm sure you'll put it somewhere for them to see. And my email is nataliesaldanafit@gmail.com. But yeah, otherwise that's kind of where I'm at. I'm in the online space a lot. No YouTube or anything like that yet, maybe in the future.
Definitely. And I will put those items in the description for you guys as well. If you'd like to reach out with Natalie, check her out, check out her Instagram, reach out to her for coaching or any other questions you have. Are you ready for the final question, my dear?
Yes. Shoot it to me.
Awesome. Can you tell the audience how they can be unapologetically themselves?
Yes. I think being unapologetically yourself is first and foremost tuning what anybody else thinks about you, because those opinions are invalid and it only matters what you feel about yourself. And that's going to project to, you know, your audience or the people around you. And I would say this is especially true as you age. And I'm not saying I'm super old or anything like that, but I definitely notice that, you know, for anyone and even myself, as we age, we really tend to care less and less what other people think of us. But it's like, why can't we also feel like that when we're young? And so if, you know, you're young in your early 20s, you know, to have that mindset, because at the end of the day, no one's opinion should make you happy but your own, and be you no matter what.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. If you liked this podcast, please tag us both on Instagram by taking a screenshot and uploading it to your stories and letting us know what your biggest takeaway is. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I so appreciate you coming.
Yes, of course, Kels. Talk to you soon.
Definitely. And thank y'all so much for listening to us today. I hope you have a great rest of the day, and check out all the links in the bio and catch us on Instagram. We'll see you guys later. Bye. Dudes and dudettes, I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I love that you came and spent some time with us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. It really does help the podcast get found and provides us with feedback. You can also follow us on Instagram at @BeAnApologeticallyYouRadio and follow Kelsey at Kelsey Lane Fitness. While on Instagram, please take a screenshot of this episode and upload it to your stories and let us know what your biggest takeaway is, or you can also share it on Facebook. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And remember, don't forget to be unapologetically you. We'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.